Praise the Lord, church. How y'all doing today? Good, 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 good. If you could turn with me to in your Bibles to Luke, the 17th chapter, the 11th verse, Luke 17, 11. As you're turning in your Bibles, we want to give honor to God, who is why we worship. We are here to worship the Lord, amen? And I'm grateful for all that he's done in my life, and I'm grateful for all he's doing in our lives and what he's doing in this church. We also want to give honor to our pastor, the one and only Dr. Paul Allen Smith. And we want to give him honor as he in his absence. And we want to give, I also like to give honor to you as my church family. I'm in love with First Baptist Chandler. I love being here. I was just saying last service, my daughter grew up in this church family, and I'm grateful to many of the seeds planted by the wonderful people here in my family, and I pray that I can return the favor and plant some seeds in your life. And I also thank you for enduring the next 25 to 30 minutes dealing with me right now. We want to give. I also give like to give honor to my wife, is because without her, I could not do what I do if she did not do what she does, and that the support that she gives me is priceless, and I love her, and it's a plus that she has the spiritual gift of hotness, but she is amazing. I love her, and Luke 17, 11th chapter. Excuse me, 17th 11th verse. 17:11. If you have it, say word. If you don't, say wait. I'll wait for 2 seconds. There's no waits. Oh, that's awesome. You guys are good with your Bibles. All right, if you really don't have it, you can just look at the screen. I got it up there for you. All right, Luke 17:11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And he, as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to them, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Go your way. Your faith has made you well. If I could put a pin in the scriptures today or tag this text, I would call it, "Don't forget to say thank you." Don't forget to say thank you. When we consider Jesus and all he is and all he's done, our simple response in worship should be, thank you. Thank you. If I can't say anything else, even if I'm not the greatest singer, I can make a joyful noise and say, thank you. And sometimes I want to encourage you to get lost in thank you, Jesus. Just lift up your hands sometimes. Don't wait till you get to church. So I'm telling you right now, that's not what we're talking about. And I want to go over this in a real detailed way, because the students and I have been on a journey over the last month discussing a very key topic all born again followers of Jesus should spend time discussing in length, and that is worship. I believe worship is the one of the fundamental things every Christian is called to do. It's one of the reasons we were created, was to worship. God could have made some robots that could just automatically get up and do whatever he says wants them to do systematically, but he chose to give us the cognitive ability to make the choice to follow and worship Jesus, follow and worship him. Webster's dictionary defines worship as the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity, like the worship of God. In my honest opinion, I really think this definition is incomplete, and it really doesn't truly give you the great idea of this. It really lacks depth for someone who's been transformed by Jesus Christ. I think it's important to start with the biblical definition of worship rooted in the inerrant and infallible scriptures. I think the biblical definition of worship, biblical worship is the full life response, head, heart, and hands to who God is and what he has done. I get this definition from Matthew 22:37 when it says, love the Lord your God with all your and all your soul and all your mind. So there are some important things to consider concerning worship. Worship is a response. Worship is our whole life, head, heart, and hands. And worship is more than music. It's the catalyst that we utilize sometimes to get us in the mind frame, but the reality is it's much more than that. In our focused passage of today, we meet 10 lepers. 100% of them realized their need for Jesus the healer. 100% of them received from Jesus regarding a miraculous blessing, healing, and wholeness. But only 10%, one of the 10, saw fit to come back and say, thank you. We can speculate as to why the other 9 men didn't come back. Maybe they returned to their families to celebrate their miracle and wholeness and healing. Maybe they returned to their friends to rejoin them in whatever their friends were doing, returning to their past. Maybe still hurt by rejection caused by leprosy, they may have gone out to start a new life, forgetting their past. Or they simply just went back to their trade or job and started making a living for themselves, seeking to regain what they lost in social exile. All of these responses help us to see what their priorities might have been. Truth is, many of us could probably relate to their responses, to the miraculous chain of events that happened in the scripture. Upon meditation of this passage, we must ask ourselves what our initial responses and priorities might have been in these circumstances. What would we have done? While Jesus is always the hero in every passage of scripture, there is another guy in this text that stands out. We don't know his name. It wasn't included. And the narrative doesn't even suggest that it was ever even given. But a simple action that sets him apart out of everyone in the whole passage. He was the leper who was healed by Jesus and just simply returned to say thank you. We can learn a lot from a grateful heart when it comes to worship. When we consider Jesus, all he is and all he has done, our simple response in worship should be thank you. There are 3 things. I'm always giving you 3 things. You know that. 3 things that we really need to understand in order for our worship to be genuine and true. Because God said those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. First thing is that we must be desperate for change, knowing Jesus is the only answer. Second thing is that we must have faith in and be obedient to Jesus' instructions. And the last thing is we must remember to say thank you. We must remember to say thank you. We can learn a lot from a grateful heart. I believe, and my friend Dave Douglas reminded me of this between services, is that, you know what, there really is no worship without a grateful heart. It's the one thing that he's given us in this whole transformation of what he's given in our lives, eternal lives, and the reality is that part of that is a grateful heart. He took our heart of sin and he replaced it with a grateful heart led by the Holy Spirit. So I believe that you can't worship God without a grateful heart. The first thing we see in this scripture that comes out in verse 11, you see we must be desperate for change, knowing Jesus is the only answer. In verse 11, it says, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, these men were lepers, meaning they had a dreadful, contagious disease that left open scars and sores over their whole bodies. Leprosy. They even were known to lose fingers and toes because of infection due to this particular disease. They were considered defiled and were forced to live among the infected on the outside of town. They had to tell out loud before they could come in contact with any healthy people because they were contagious. They had to scream out loud this one word, unclean. I want you to imagine your whole life having to be, the only way you could be around healthy people that weren't stricken with leprosy, you had to approach them from a distance screaming unclean. And the crazy thing is that when you know that that's your life, you realize that when you scream out unclean, in most cases, a healthy person is gonna go somewhere else. They don't wanna talk to you. They don't wanna deal with you. They don't have anything to do with you. So this disease is so much more than just a disease. It's social exile in the sense that you would never ever experience or even understand to a certain degree. Before they came into close contact with other people, they had to scream out, unclean. Leprosy was not deadly, but due to the fact that there was no cure, you most likely were going to die with it. So a lot of them were outcasts, and they were not allowed to be around the people that they loved because of the fear of infecting them with what they had. And in a sense, living, waiting to die. But Jesus. I like that term because in the English language and most of throughout scripture, you know when you use the word but, you actually negate everything that I just said right before it. So it takes away the meaning of what was because Jesus changes it all. Because Jesus changes everything. So, but Jesus. Oh, somebody got that. But Jesus, 10 lepers from this community of the unclean, heard Jesus was coming through and thought they would capitalize on the moment. So in a sense, they built a choir. Yeah. 10 of them. And the words to their song was pretty simple. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus is on the outskirts of town, passing through from Samaria to Galilee. From a distance, he hears the cries of the defiled and the unclean. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, check this out. In the scripture, it tells us, you know, that it said it one time, but if I could use my sanctified imagination for a moment, I'm thinking from a distance, they were probably yelling it out for a while until they got his attention. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Isn't that what we do when we worship? We cry out to the Lord and Savior of all, the creator of the universe, and we ask him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. The reality of life, and I tell this to students all the time, the only thing we deserve from God is hell and death. The reality of life is that we need to be screaming out to Jesus to have mercy on us. They didn't ask to be healed. They asked for mercy. They were in a situation where, the best way to describe it, have you ever been dirty? Anybody ever been dirty? Okay, only two people, but that's cool. I've been dirty. I mean, if you're working on the car and you got the stuff under your nails that you gotta work hard to get out. I mean, have you ever been dirty? I mean, really dirty. When I think of dirty, I think about when I was serving in the military, because I'm not old enough to have served in Desert Storm. I'm not that old. But I served with some guys after I got in the Air Force, with some guys who did serve in Desert Storm. And they told me that a lot of, liberating the Kuwaitis, that the Iraqis had set all their oil wells on fire. So many of our troops of all branches in the fire department guys were putting out fires in the oil wells. And if you don't know anything about putting out fire in an oil well, that is one of the most dirty experiences you could probably ever experience. They had soot and oil and everything all over them. And many of them said that the time that they took them weeks to get those fires out, if not more, they said while they were there, they could take 2 and 3 showers a day, but they could never feel clean. Because the dirt was that deep, it was that hard, and they worked so hard, sweat and dirt and everything mixed together, and they were just dirty. Some of them just got comfortable with being dirty. But it wasn't until they were clean that they appreciated what it meant to be clean. So here's the thing, these gentlemen were more dirty than that. They felt more dirty than that. And then they heard Jesus was coming through. Now here's the thing, Jesus responds in a way only Jesus can respond. Here's where we hit the second point. We must have faith in and be obedient to Jesus' instructions. We must have faith in and be obedient to Jesus' instructions. In verse 14, it says, when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. As they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. Jesus responds in a way only Jesus can respond. Jesus sends them to show themselves to the priest, which is considered customary. If you wanted to be around healthy people again, you had to be considered clean by the priest. So he sent them to the priest. But the interesting part of this is that he sends them to the priest without ever saying they were healed. So these men had to have a certain level of faith. I need you to hear me, because this is pretty interesting. He sends them to the priest, and it says, as they went. So I like this because it tells me that, you know what? They were still lepers when they started walking. And they were following Jesus' instructions. And as they were walking, they became clean. In a sense, they were screaming out unclean when they walked away. But by the time they got to the priest, they didn't have to scream out unclean again. They were truly cleansed. They had to start their walk in faith. As they went, sores began to heal. Fingers and toes reappeared brand new, and life as they knew it began to transform. As they obeyed Jesus' instructions, they were cleansed. The scripture says that they were all cleansed. So it looks like they all made it to the priest, but only one returned to the outskirts of town to say Jesus, to talk to Jesus and tell him thank you. He returned with an attitude of gratitude. He returned with an attitude of gratitude. Like, we could speculate where those other 9 went, but the reality is that we know that one returned to say thank you. The last thing I'm gonna drop on you guys, and then I'll let you go home and you can go get your chicken, and if you're having steak, make sure you invite me over. We must remember to say thank you. We must remember to say thank you. Verse 15, it says, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan, and then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? No one found to return and give praises to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. He returned with an attitude of gratitude. I think he wasn't happy with just requesting cleansing from a distance. He had to return to Jesus to thank him at his feet. Only 100% of these lepers were in awe with Jesus as they were walking and walking out their healing. They did a part of what he said. They did everything he told them to do in the moment. But only 10% were thinking of how they were going to say thank you. 100% of those lepers were enjoying the benefits of being set free from a disease that left them broke, busted, and disgusted. Only 10% were visualizing the moment they could express their appreciation to Jesus, their healer. 100% of them would now be able to live life in abundance because they were able to have an encounter with Jesus from a distance, unclean and defiled. Only 10% were not just satisfied with encountering Jesus from a distance, but wanted to return and thank him at his feet, cleansed and whole. When we consider Jesus and all that he is and all that he has done, our simple response in worship should be. Now, I like this guy. We're gonna call him Grateful. I like Grateful because Grateful, he came back. His name's not mentioned in the scripture, so I'm giving him a name. His name is Grateful. Grateful comes back to give thanks to Jesus. I like that because it reminds me a little bit of my daughter. My daughter, I love my daughter. I really love my daughter. Did I say I love my daughter? I love my daughter. And she does something that I find to be amazing. A lot of my illustrations come from watching her because it's just amazing how she interacts with life. But the one thing I notice is that if she learns a new, word, or if she's in tumbling class and learns a new flip, we gotta be careful with that. If she learns a number of things, she runs to me or her mother or anybody who she loves, who she finds dear, to show them what she can show, how she's changed, how she's grown, all the things that are going on in her life. She wants to share it. And you know what I find interesting is that all these men have received from Jesus full healing to return back to life as normal and to live it in a better way. And only one had priority enough to go back and show the person they love the greatest. And here's the thing. I think all of them went to the person they probably loved the greatest to show them what happened or how they were healed and how they had no sores anymore and how they looked great now versus what they looked like before. And you know, all of them went to the person that they loved the most. But I'm convinced that this man, he came to Jesus because that's who he loved the most. Now, here's what I know about worship. And you know what? We get caught up in the idea of music and styles of music and things like this, that you know, this gets me in the mood, this gets me in the moment. But the reality is, I think worship is really just getting lost in thank you, Jesus. Yep. And worship isn't limited to just public and corporate worship to what we do on Sunday mornings. Sometimes I wake up in the morning, I need to just get lost in thank you, Jesus. Sometimes I just lift my hands or lay in my bed and just say, thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Jesus, and I just keep repeating that until I really understand what it is that I'm saying. And that changes my outlook on life. It changes my outlook on my day. And I'm be honest with you, if you get lost in thank you, Jesus, you don't have bad days. You may have challenging ones. But if you get lost in thank you, Jesus, I believe that your days are a lot more real. And you get a better perspective on who you are and what God has caused you to be, because at the end of the day, you want to be at his feet. I'm not happy with just loving him from a distance. I'm not just happy talking about him, but I want to be at his feet, thanking him. We must remember to say thank you. Don't forget to say thank you. If he's the one you love the most, I want him to have a whole part of my life. I want him to show him everything he's done. I want to show him how I've grown. I want to show him how he's healed me, how he's kept me, how he's set me on the right path, and how I walked following him, not my own way, but his way. Because I love him the most. Because he loved me even greater. An old song says, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ. his son. And now, I love this part, let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son. Now, another great song comes to mind, and I can't sing, so I'm just going to yell it out. I've got so much to thank God for. So many blessings and so many open doors. A brand new mercy along each new day. That's why I praise you. For this, I give you praise. For waking me up this morning, that's why I praise you. For starting me on my way, that's why I praise you. For letting me see the dawn of a brand new day, a brand new mercy along with each new day. That's why I praise you. For this, I give you praise. You're Jehovah Jireh, that's why I praise you. You've been my provider, that's why I praise you. So many times you met my need, and so many times you rescued me, that's why I praise you. I want to thank you for the blessings that you give me each day. That's why I praise you. For this, I give you praise. Hallelujah. For this, I give you praise. Don't forget to say thank you. Don't forget to say thank you. It's so easy to do. It's so easy to get caught up in what's going on in your lives and the situations and circumstances. But here's what I'm thinking is that if I get lost in saying thank you, everything else is so small. Everything else is so small. Remember, worship is a response as the band comes forth. Worship is a response. Worship is our whole life, head, heart, and hands. Worship is more than music. There are three things that we nearly need to understand is that we must be desperate for change, knowing Jesus is the only answer. You can try everything you want to try, but the reality is Jesus is the only answer. He's the only one that can transform your situation. He can recreate us into new creatures if we place our faith in him. The second thing, we must have faith and be obedient to Jesus' instructions. You can't say you're following Jesus if you never follow him. The last thing is we must remember to say thank you. We must remember to say thank you. Now, somebody in here is like, you know what, Pastor Ray, I hear what you're talking about, and I'm really pretty excited about what you're excited about. But I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior, and I don't know him like you're saying you know him, but I want to know him like that. If you want to know Jesus as your Savior, guess what? You're in the right place at the right time. You just heard the right message.
Yes.
Today is a good day to make a good decision. If that's you, and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, and you would like to make him Lord and Savior of your life today, all it takes is for you to place your faith in him right now. And that can start with a walk towards this altar to able hands that'll be up here waiting for you. If somebody else is here like, I know Jesus, me and Jesus are good. We're down like four flat tires going on and on into eternity. We're good. But you know what, Pastor Ray? I have a hard time saying thank you. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I get caught up in what's going on in my life, and I'm just struggling with that right now, Pastor Ray, because you know I got some big things right now going on in my life. You know what? I may not understand what you're going through, but guess what? Jesus does.
Yes, he does.
Today, you can come to these altars and pray and ask God for the strength to get through that and to get refocused. Or you can go to we have a room in the back after service where you can go and meet with someone to get prayed for right here in the North Prayer Room. Or maybe, you know what? You just need a church home. You may be new to the area, or you may be new to this church, and this is your first time here and you don't have a church home. Today is a good day because you're in a church and today you can make it your home.
Yes.
If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you need prayer, or if you would like to make this your church home, will you come?
Give me